Register to vote, vote by mail, and vote early. These words have covered billboards and taken over TV ads for the past month. Maricopa County data shows turnout for this election has already surpassed 2016's, with 900,000 votes already cast. However, with all the attention directed at registering new voters, there are some people residing in America who aren't able to vote. If someone isn't officially a US citizen or is a permanent legal resident, then they aren't allowed to vote in American elections. This is Travis Robertson with the State Press, and for this podcast, I talked with a student and a professor who can't vote to understand their perspectives in the midst of this election. First, I spoke with Ross Satchel, a graduate business analytics student. Ross has been staying on a student visa to attend ASU and has been a resident in America for 12 years.
I am currently not a citizen. I'm an Australian citizen. And I'm on a student visa, so that doesn't afford me the right to vote in any American elections. I'm definitely trying to get a green card, but I'm not sure if I'll go all the way to citizenship. We originally came here on a non-immigrant visa that went for 2 years, and we thought we'd only be here for 2 years, and we ended up renewing that a couple of times. So that was called an E3 visa, and then my wife went on an H1B visa, and I went on a student visa, and now it looks like we might have a case for a green card application, considering there's not many green card applications happening at the moment. So we'll see how that goes. So E3 is a specialty visa given to Australian citizens who are in specialty occupations. And it's a 2-year non-immigrant visa, but you can pretty much renew it infinitely. And so we did that a few times. And then my wife went for an H1B. Then she renewed that, and you can only renew it once, so for a total of 6 years. And then after that, you either have to have a green card process in or you have to leave. So we're now trying to jump onto a different visa. And so we're constantly chasing visas. Because we're in a weird situation. So with Australian citizens, if you have been outside of Australia for more than 6 years, they remove you from the voting roll. And so we have compulsory votings, but we have taxation with our representation. And I feel like there was a whole thing about that. But
next, I spoke with Dr. April Miller. Dr. Miller is an honors professor as well as a Barrett faculty fellow.
I'm a Canadian citizen. I have a green card and have for almost 5 years now. So that makes me eligible to apply for citizenship, and I've started the process, but it takes a while. So as such, I'm not allowed to vote here in the United States. And up until very recently, I'm from Canada, Canadian law has only recently changed for expatriates so that I will be allowed to vote in the next Canadian election. But I've been disenfranchised for, to be frank, most of my adult life. America has much more flexible voting laws for expatriates. So people, if they're living outside of the US, can still vote in American elections. It's very difficult to do in Canada, has been at least since I've been an adult and have been old enough to vote. You had to have been returning to Canada for certain many of months a year. And if you weren't, then you lost your right to vote in Canada. So I have not been able to vote in Canada for years. And just over a year ago now, maybe it's close to 2 years now, basically there's been a kind of a legal case in Canada that was changing that because it isn't in keeping with the Canadian sort of legal structures. But anyway, so they've changed it now that I now can register. But of course, the Canadian voting system is very different. You don't say vote for prime minister, you vote for your municipal representation, which makes it tricky. Because I don't know where that would be for me, given that I haven't lived in the US, I mean, in Canada since 2002. And that's part of, to be frank, been my motivation for finalizing, trying to apply for citizenship, is looking at it and saying, I haven't been able to vote in American elections, and I really wish I could with this one and previous ones too, but especially right now. So it motivated me to file the paperwork and pay the money to end up with dual citizenship, to be frank. So I guess that's kind of my way of voting since I can't, right? To look at it and say, I want to make sure that I can have a voice next time around. I remember one time years ago, shortly after I had moved to the United States and been living in the US only for a couple of years, and I was studying at Cornell, and someone I knew there, she had a son who was only about 8 years old, and he was asking me that, like, does it frustrate you that you can't vote in the upcoming election? He was very interested in politics at only eight. And I said, yeah, a little bit. And he said, if you could vote, who would you vote for? And I won't reveal who it was, but the next time I saw him, he'd been at a farmer's market with his mom, and he bought me a bumper sticker with his own money for the candidate whom I had identified. And I said, well, that is like so sweet of you. Why did you give it to me? And he said, well, I know you can't vote, but you can influence people. So I thought you might like it. And I don't try to influence my students, obviously, nothing like that. But I think it's a message that's resonated for me. And I thought, well, I can influence people in other ways. I can get involved in, you know, phone banking and text banking, and I can do other kinds of things to support politicians I believe in. So I've tried to do that and sort of have my voice that way by lending support to campaigns that I feel strongly about and encouraging my students to vote. I bring in, you know, voter registration people, things like that, and say, like, don't take your vote for granted, because I wish I could weigh in either of the elections in countries I'm deeply invested in, right? I've lived here a long time, since 2001. So 2001, 2002.
Both Ross and Dr. Miller explained how you can get involved if you aren't able to vote.
Well, first of all, figure out where you sit on the spectrum, the political spectrum, and then try to get involved in political groups that are trying to support whatever it is that you're interested in. So for example, my wife and I are involved in activism for Planned Parenthood. So on the weekends currently when I'm studying, she's doing phone banking to support left-wing candidates or progressive candidates. And just in previous elections, going around and talking to people and just encouraging them to vote and saying, these are the people that are up for election. These are their policies. Please get out and vote, make your own decision, and having conversations with people, not necessarily trying to convince them, but just asking them questions on their life circumstances and who they think would best benefit them for their future.
I guess that's one way to do it is to look at it and say, can you help motivate other people you know? Can you maybe get involved in campaigns that you feel strongly about? You know, there's a lot of kind of grassroots action, you know, that kind of stuff. So I think that can be one way to help make it feel less alienating, right? To feel like you still have some sort of investment in the process. So that's kind of my solution, and something certainly I've had conversations with other people who are disenfranchised for various reasons, who don't have voter rights. And I think instead of being apathetic, like, I can't vote, so why worry about it? Instead, I look at it and think, well, what other ways can I have an impact on the political system? So that's usually the advice I tend to give them. I'm really excited to see, you know, the higher numbers of people voting so far in this election, especially given the pandemic. So I think that's really exciting. You know, there's a lot of interest in voting from people across the political spectrum. So that makes me feel pretty hopeful. I hope young people especially will really kind of get out the vote and let their voices be heard. Prove the people wrong who think that young people don't care and don't vote.